So with that, let us move on. If everybody's prepared and in their chairs to item 9, which is to consider and take possible action regarding revising the interest crediting and excess earnings policy. Gail, I will turn this one over to you.
Yes, and we do also have Paul Angelo from Siegel, who is being moved over.
Oh, excellent. Okay. I wasn't sure if he was available or not. So there he is. Smiling face.
Hi, everybody.
Good morning.
If it's okay, could we also bring Eva Yum into the call, just in case you ask me something that's outside of my range of motion?
Well, I can't imagine there would be anything like that, Paul.
Oh, Scott, you have no idea.
Yeah, I think, Gail, I guess we can move over to Eva if she's in the room. Sure.
She's not on the list of people that are signed on.
No. She's at the top of the list with her hand raised.
It's the other list. There she is. I see her. All right. We're good. I think we got Eva in. All right.
Thank you.
Paul's in. So who wants to lead?
So I will start off. So back in 2014, the board approved a change to when the investment rate the investment rate assumption was adopted, and when that rate would be credited to reserves. And so back in 2014, the board made a decision to make it apply January 1 of the year following the valuation date. So probably an example would be good. So with what was approved back in 2014, if there was a valuation report as of December 31st, 2021, then that rate would get adopted January 1 of 2022, just a day later. And so, and since that time, there's been two investment rate assumption changes. And with both of those, there has not administratively been a way to have it act in that same fashion. And so at this point, we took a look at it and we're looking at proposing to the board to move it by 6 months. So instead of getting applied beginning January 1 of the following year of that valuation, it would be applied starting July 1, so that the interest credited to, say, member accounts on December 31st of, for example, 2022, it would that would be the first interest crediting cycle with that new rate. I hope that that makes sense. And I have here, I have Siegel on the line as well, if there are questions or comments from the board.
All right. So we've had the report in the packet, which we've read, and Gail. So Samson, you had a hand up.
So I believe it was the letter that was dated in 2014 that mentioned a very insignificant decrease in contribution rates or for the contributions. Will that still hold true going forward?
I think that will depend on the generally speaking, if the interest crediting rate goes down, that normally will aside from the interest crediting rate is also what's used as the discount rate, and so if the discount rate goes down, all else equal, that will tend to produce a modest increase in the member contribution rates. But that's going to happen anyway. That's happening independent of this decision. And there are usually other assumption changes as well, Mr. Wong. So it's hard to predict, but all else equal, a lower interest crediting rate will mean higher member contributions. But that is already being implemented as part of the implementation of the employer and the member rates when the valuations adopt.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Other questions or comments on the item? I saw somebody's hand go up briefly. Ah, there it is, Rusty.
Hey, Scott. Again, so the changes are made to the policy, and you have a redlined version here in the packet. in paragraph two of the section under general principles and objectives. And all we're doing here is just moving this 6 months forward in the year. Are we doing that? Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. So we're affecting one calendar year and then the next. Is that right? Am I reading that right? Because before it used to be December 31st. And well, it used to be June and then December. But now it's December and then June that we're making.
Right.
Right.
Right. Of the change. Yeah. Yeah.
So, and our fiscal year is January 1 through December 31st, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing that I know this is petty probably, and maybe I'm misinterpreting, but in that third line there refers to the fiscal year that the actual or the assumed rate of return is applied towards. But, and then later you use a different wording, you refer to it as the next 12 month period. And I'm not sure if that fiscal year, the word fiscal should be in there or if we should replace that term with for the next 12 month period. I don't know if it makes any difference or not, but it just threw me off because I think fiscally we're operating from January to December, but we're applying this annual rate, not by the fiscal year, but by two fiscal years, I guess, December and June. Is that important at all, Paul?
Well, the thing is though, this rate, it does affect those two 6 month periods, but then it continues going forward. So this is going to apply to all 6 month periods after this effective date. This would generally mean that it would go into effect. The new rate would
right.
You're right. It shifted off 6 months from the fiscal year.
Yeah. So I don't know if that even that needs the last part of the sentence there for the fiscal year needs to stay in there or.
You think that's ambiguous, Rusty? That's what I'm trying to understand.
Well, I don't know. Just when I first read it and then continued down the paragraph and seeing the change in the dates when the 6 month period starts. Or the 12-month period rather starts. It just bothered me a little bit. But if you all can live with it, then I can live with it.
So so you're talking about at the bottom of page one, item two, that first sentence where it ends in for that fiscal year. So yes. are you thinking if it said that year
Do you need to say anything after actuarially assumed rate of return?
I think we were clarifying which year we were discussing.
Well, because I thought so, but then I think fiscally we're writing December to January, but here the rate is being applied
over two fiscal years.
Yeah, that's always fine. That's fine. I just thought to avoid the ambiguity there, just to take out that for the fiscal year. If it's not important, say it in that sentence. I mean, I understand what the rate's for, but so it's not misleading or confusing. At least it was for me.
So this is about reader clarity and whether yeah. we're properly yeah. to somebody picking up the letter, communicating what we're actually doing correctly. I don't know, Paul, thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'm looking at, I printed out pages 29 to 35 of the board packet, and I have to admit, I'm looking for the words fiscal year.
So again, under the redline version of the, or you can take the clean version too, of the policy itself, paragraph two under general principles of objectives.
All right.
That very first sentence under paragraph two, it ends with for that fiscal year.
It's page 29 on the packet. That helps.
The
first page of the policy.
Yes. So this is not redline text, right? This is the black line, right? Am I correct?
Oh, right. It's
so black. So this isn't in the change language. This is actually the just preceding word specifically. Yeah, I had to figure it out. Yeah.
It's not in the edited text. Okay.
Right. Correct.
So that's in the original text. So taking together the compound. Right. That might be a good point.
Other than that, I have nothing else. I could support this.
Yeah, I think that the reason that that's there is there's also this feature where we take whatever the rate is for 1 6-month period during a fiscal year, which, and let's be clear, that means calendar year. Yep. Am I right on that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we don't, you know, let's say that there was no change. And so, and let's say the rate was 7%. We don't actually credit 7%. We credit 3.5%, then we credit another 3.5%. And we do that in a way that is compound. We take actually thinking slightly less than 3.5 and another rate that's slightly less than 3.5. So when they're compounded together, they get to the 7%. So in a year where there's a change, you're actually going to, if it went from 7 to 6.5, you would take the half year equivalent of 7 and compound it with the half year equivalent of 6.5. Now, Eva, make sure I've got that right.
So in that case,
you know, what we're trying to describe is that for that fiscal year, there's going to be this compounding. So I think that's why we want to say that this compounding feature is applied on a fiscal year basis. So I think it probably be better to leave that in. Now, Eva, what do you think?
Yeah. So just read that first sentence, right? It's the crediting of interest rate for the period that we're talking about for this change is from July 1st. So use this year's example, July 1st, 2022. That's for the December 31st crediting. And then for the period from January 2023 to June 30th, 2023. So, and it's an equal amount which has taken, okay, so, and then we have others compounding. But what I believe the trustee's question is that after that compounding, it's going to equals to the board's adopted actual assumed investment rate of return for that fiscal year. So when we're talking about that two interest crediting period, it's across the fiscal year.
Mm-hmm.
Because fiscal year is calendar year. So I guess it might be a little bit ambiguous as to which interest rate you're talking about and for which fiscal year. Right. Because are you talking about fiscal year 2022 or 2023?
Yeah, that's a good point. So because we're now sort of straddling to the changes being implemented off cycle from the fiscal year, and so it could be ambiguous when you have a year in which it changes. So actually, it might be better to take out the phrase for that fiscal year. And then all that we're saying is that we're not simply taking whatever the rate is and dividing it by two. Right. We're taking the rate that when compounded will equal the assumed rate. But that does mean that in a year when there's a change, you're going to have a 12-month period that includes the old year, the old rate, and the new rate. But in each case, though, the rate that's being credited is one that if you did that for a full year, it would compound to the assumed rate.
And I think the rest of the paragraph explains that well. It's just that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's 4 words in the first sentence. I don't think it's.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So that, Rusty, is that a motion to approve the policy change with the deletion of the phrase for that fiscal year in the first paragraph?
Yes, I'll make that motion.
All right. Karen, you had your hand up. I'm sorry. There's a motion, but go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I just thought I'd raise that possibly instead of that fiscal year, it could say for that 12-month period.
Which is right. Because first. So it's either one or the other.
Well, the thing is, though, in what we're describing a situation where for that 12-month period, there are actually two different assumed rates of return.
Yeah, I get you. You're right.
Yeah, so the...
Whereas in subsequent years, that would not be the case. That only happens in the year when there's a change.
But for the 12-month period between July 1... or that starts in July 1, that is the 12-month period that you need to look at for compounding, no?
Well,
That, I mean, that's the question. This talks about compounding, and the compounding has to be within 1 year. It currently says fiscal year,
right?
But it needs to say something about the period of time in which the compounding is occurring.
But it does say semi-annually. So I think, you know, I think that in the previous version, since this was in the previous version, it just said June 30th for that fiscal year, which made sense. And I think that Rusty makes a good point that with the changed language, that for that fiscal year, it probably isn't best to keep that in there. And with it saying semi-annually as of each December 31st, I'm kind of wondering if we need to put anything at all, and we just end at return possibly.
Well, the way the edit is structured, you have the topic sentence, which is the one we're debating. And if you put a period without for that fiscal year, the insert or the edited text starts off specifically comma. In other words, it's then refining what has been said in the topic sentence and providing the nitty gritty detail of how the sausage is made, right?
So yeah, but it doesn't, that sentence doesn't explain the compounding. It's only the first sentence that talks about compounding. So well, the question is, what, is it clear if you delete that fiscal year, is it clear what period of time the compounding applies to?
Yeah, and the difficulty is, in order to actually have it be really rigorously accurate for both the year of a change and an ongoing change, it's going to take another couple of sentences to explain that. So there's another way we could do this. I think we would, if we simply, because all we want to say to the mathematicians in the room is that the amount that we're crediting each 6 months is an amount that when compounded with itself will equal one of the assumed rates of return. So one way to do that is to say, in that sentence, credit the member interest on member accounts in equal amounts, which when compounded are equal to, and take out the when taken together, because it's the taken together that gets tricky. Because sometimes what you're taking together is the same rate, but sometimes what you're taking together is one rate that compounds to the old annual return and one rate which compounds to the new annual return. So I think you could say is that it is, in equal amounts, which when compounded are equal to the board adopted actually assumed investment rate of return.
And so, Paul, it's clear that you were not saying that with each of them would be equal to the rate of return.
Yeah, let's see.
Paul?
Well, no, it's because we mentioned the two dates. Because we mentioned the two dates.
Yeah. Paul, I have a procedural question. How time sensitive is this item? Do we have to do this today? Because I can see, I understand this is really interesting, actually, but we're drafting in real time. So I'm just trying to figure out, do we need to do this by today to be timely?
Good point. Can I just throw out one suggestion, Paul, for consideration when you take this back to look it over? But instead of saying for that fiscal year, could you say instead for that valuation period?
Yeah, I'm actually really hearing the chair's comment. This is sufficiently tricky. I think we might want to take a fresh look at it if we have time to do so. But now we have to check and see what are the interest crediting deadlines that we're up against.
Right.
Well, so the next interest crediting is December 31st. And so the previous board instructions from 2014 would have been to have already done it. The last times we did this as well as this year, that it just wasn't the case. So I would see either way, it's still going to happen 12/31. It would be nicer to have it approved in advance of that, but I don't know if it necessarily necessitates that.
Well, if we didn't take action today, you would go ahead and adjust based on how you think we're supposed to do it, right?
Yeah, we would still do the 12/31 with the new rate, because the board, that's in line with the board's prior instructions.
Right. Yeah, I'm just having this sense that I mean, this is a fairly specific, narrow issue, but it's important. And I as much as this is actually interesting and collaborative is probably not the best way to do it. So I'm thinking that we let history run its course, we make the adjustment, and we get the language right and bring it back after you know, Gail, Karen, Paul, Eva, and importantly Rusty have a chance to look at it and make sure that everybody's comfortable. Is that fair?
Yes.
All right. So I think the consensus is we will make the adjustment timely as we would normally do it in the normal course, and we will bring this back at the earliest opportunity once the language has been ferreted out. Fair enough.
I hope you're proud of yourself now, Mr. Watts.
Well, I was hoping we'd go ahead and pass it subject to amendment later for this particular part, but I'd hate to hold it up.
Well, if we didn't pass this amendment, we're going to make the adjustment anyway, correct?
Correct.
I mean, yeah, we're not going to alter the course of history, I think, by not taking action today, is what I'm saying.
So as the items on the table for action, can we still move forward and approve it?
So, I'm sorry, so is the question, should we or can we?
Is it still on? I didn't know whether you were suggesting that we table it or we go ahead.
I'm suggesting we table it. You do have a motion on the table. I don't think there was a second yet. And we could table it and bring it back once the language is refined, taking into account the comments that you've made, Karen's made, and Paul's made. It's nuanced. It's clearly nuanced, and it's right. It's peculiar. So my sense is we should get it right. Any other feelings one way or the other? Apparently not. So we will continue this item to our next scheduled meeting. We will go ahead and make the agency will make the adjustment in the normal course, and we'll bring it back once the language has been worked out.
So just point of order, does that mean that the minutes should show that the motion died for lack of a second, or how do you want the minutes to wrap that up?
I would simply say the consensus of the board was to continue the item to the next scheduled date with additional language changes.
Okay,
is what I would say.
Right. So in essence, that motion died for lack of a second.
It did. Yes.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
I kind of forced the motion on Rusty anyway, so it's not his fault. All right. Are we done? We're good. All right. Let's move on. In the interest of time, thank you, Paul and Eva.
Okay, thank you, everyone. Enjoy your holiday.
Always a happy holiday. Interesting discussion as always.
Yeah. Bye.
Be well. All right.